He was born in a shelter where they kept the livestock, a stable, maybe a barn, or maybe just a dirty cave. It was a cold night in late December, maybe with snow or freezing rain falling all around outside, maybe with a wind blowing it into the entrance of the cave or through the holes in the walls of the barn. And then they laid him in a manger, a food trough where the animals ate. Why? Why did the Creator of heaven and earth, God the Son, choose to become one of us? And why did he have to come to us as a tiny baby? And why did he have to be born in such miserable conditions? The answer is simple. God, in his wisdom, knew that only man could atone for the sins of man, but only the power of the infinite, eternal God could make up for sins against the goodness of the infinite, eternal God. And so God had to become one of us. And in all things, from birth to death, good times and bad, suffering and joy, so that as both God and man, he could atone for and save us from our sins. But there's another reason God the Son had to be born into the world this way, a reason we must not forget today. We read in tomorrow's gospel, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us." This reminds us that the eternal God the Son entered into time and became a man not only to redeem us, but to speak to us the Word, to tell us about himself and the Father, and to teach us what life is really all about. St. John calls him the eternal Word of God because he communicates God to us. So that all throughout the Old Testament, when God speaks to his people in some mysterious way, it is the Son in action. But in the fullness of time, God chose to speak to his people directly, face to face, literally. And so the Son, the eternal Word, became a man, Jesus, and spoke to us. And that speaking did not just begin when he was an adult, as he walked up and down the length and breadth of the roads of Israel, teaching and preaching. Rather, he began teaching to us, speaking to us, on that first Christmas morning as a tiny little baby. Now, some might say, but babies don't speak. Well, tell that to a mother of a newborn baby crying in the middle of the night. To you and me, it sounds like crying, but to her, the baby clearly is saying, "Feed me, mommy," or "I'm scared, mommy." Or tell that to a pregnant woman when the baby kicks. He says, "Here I am, and I'll be out soon." Babies say a lot of things without saying a single syllable. They say to us, innocence. They say to us, new beginnings. They say to us, protect me. But most importantly, they say to us, love me. In a beautiful homily at Christmas Midnight Mass many years ago, Pope Benedict XVI spoke about how man can be intimidated by God, either by his great majesty and power or by the demands he makes on us, and sometimes by a combination of both. So it's easy to walk away from him or to assume that he doesn't have time for us or simply to ignore his existence than to have to deal with God. But then Benedict went on to preach, and I quote, "Therefore God chose a new way. He became a child. He made himself dependent and weak, in need of our love. Now this God who has become a child says to us, 'You can no longer fear me. You can only love me.' You can no longer fear me. You can only love me. Love me." In a sense, this is nothing new for Almighty God. After all, He created Adam and Eve simply so that He could love them and they could love Him in return. And even after their original sin and through all the sins and betrayals of mankind over all these millennia, He still continued to offer mankind His love and invite them to love Him. So is it surprising that when He enters the world to save us, to reconcile us to His Father's love, and to teach us about His love and how to love, God the Son enters as a tiny baby whose very existence seems to coo to us, "Do not fear me, love me." And the baby says more than that. He says, "I am the all-powerful God, but I have made myself vulnerable for you." Again, this vulnerability is nothing new for God. Since Adam and Eve, God has exposed Himself to the wounds of our rejection and sin. He has become vulnerable to us right from the beginning. But now the Word becomes flesh, and the vulnerability of the babe speaks in a clear and human way. A vulnerability that becomes even more apparent soon after Christmas as King Herod orders his execution. And finally, He is born in the most miserable conditions, in a strange city, away from family and friends who might assist His parents in protecting and caring for Him, and in a damp, dirty stable on a cold, late December day. Again, He speaks, saying, "I come to suffer." It's interesting. Some argue that Jesus was not actually born on this day, certainly not in December, they say. Probably, they say, in June or July. As proof of that, they point to the text we read at Midnight Mass, which tells us that on the night Jesus was born, as we read, there were shepherds in the region living in the fields, keeping the night watch over their flock. Skeptics say that shepherds wouldn't have kept flocks outside in the cold of December. That's not what you do with sheep, they say. The thing is, yes, they would. Because you see, Bethlehem was just about 5 miles outside of Jerusalem. And modern Jewish scholars tell us that in order to keep sheep available year-round for the sacrifices in the temple of Jerusalem, special herds of sheep were kept just outside of the city all year-round. In fact, the lambing season began in the middle of December. The lambs, the newborn lambs that would be sacrificed, were born just about this time. So yes, there were shepherds in the field in late December. And yes, the newborn babe was born shivering in the cold as He tells us that He had come to suffer for us. But this episode with the shepherds tells us something else. The shepherds came to worship Jesus, who one day will be called the Lamb of God and replace the temple sacrifices of the lambs with His own sacrifice of the cross. The Word becomes flesh and speaks to us in the tiny voice of a vulnerable, suffering, lovable baby. And in all this, He says not merely the invitation, "Love me," but He also shows Himself vulnerable and suffering for us. He says, "Love me because I love you." And as He says this, He opens the door to the speaking He will do the rest of His life, especially as an adult, both in words and actions. This speaking, the gospel, will be difficult to hear because it will be demanding. It will be hard to believe and even cause them suffering and even some martyrdom. Over the last 2,000 years, many have walked away afraid of these teachings of Jesus, and they continue to do so today. But if we begin here with the babe in His mother's arms, we are not afraid of His gospel because we see that it begins and springs from love. As St. John tells us elsewhere, God is love. And in Bethlehem, the divine love became a human babe, saying to us, "Before you hear anything else I have to say, understand this one thing. Do not be afraid of me, because I love you." love me in return. As I hope you know, Easter, and not Christmas, has always been by far the most important feast in the life of the church. In fact, it seems that Christmas wasn't widely celebrated, at least not liturgically, until the 4th century. And yet today, most people make a much bigger deal out of Christmas than they do about Easter. Some say this is due to the commercialization and secularization of Christmas. And to some extent, that's true. Many lament the overemphasis on the birth of the Savior over the death and resurrection of the Savior, the feast of our salvation. And to some extent, they have a point. But I can't help remember that without the Word becoming flesh and blood in Bethlehem, that flesh and blood would not have died and resurrected in Jerusalem 33 years later. Without the eternal Word coming to us in the form of a tiny baby, the world would not understand His invitation to love Him and to be loved by Him in quite the same way. Perhaps in this overly commercialized and secularized 21st century, a world that is, in a very real sense, afraid to listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ because it knows if it listens, it will have to change. Perhaps it is part of God's providential plan for this century to focus attention, no matter how unintentionally, on the birthday of this vulnerable, suffering, lovable babe. To see Him in the manger, or to see Him in their mind's eye, in the arms of His mother Mary or His foster father Joseph, and with the shepherds come to watch and worship the Lamb of God. And in all this, to hear Him, the eternal Word of God, say in a voice that echoes over 20 centuries of human history and into eternity, "You can no longer fear me, you can only love me." Perhaps in God's eternal plan, the cooing invitation of the baby Jesus will melt the hearts, the icy hearts of our faithless century, including your heart and my heart, and open them to listen to the gospel of Jesus and recognize it for what it truly is, the gospel of love. As we now enter into the mystery of the Holy Eucharist, the sacrament of love, the sacrifice of the Lamb of God, let us remember that the proclamation of the gospel that culminated in the cross in Jerusalem began in the manger in Bethlehem, as the One who loved us from all eternity was born of the Virgin Mary on Christmas Day, the Word of God made flesh speaking to us through the vulnerability and suffering of the lovable little baby. Come, let us adore Him. And come, let us love Him. Praise be Jesus Christ.